For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing to talk with you today about a holy womanhood. In Colossians 3, verse 12, we read, "Put on the garments that suit God's chosen people, His own, His beloved. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience." Now, Paul was certainly not talking only to women there. In fact, I suspect that Paul had mostly men in mind. He was writing this letter to the church of Colossae, undoubtedly to the leaders of the church, expecting that they would pass on his teaching to the rest. But my talk is about the ways in which a woman can be truly holy. And the reason that I am emphasizing this toward women is just because the world is telling you so many things that are so diametrically opposed to what the Scripture says. I'm not excluding you men from this. Every one of us who calls ourselves followers of Christ is meant to put on the garments that suit God's chosen people. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. But as a woman, I realize that the essence of my femininity is surrender. When I marry, I surrender to a man I love. I surrender to him my body, my name, my future, my destiny, and I accept his. And when I become a mother, when I begin to become a mother, I surrender my body again to the giving of life for that child. These are unspeakably high privileges. But the exalted privilege requires humility, the going down into death. And Jesus himself, a man, led the way. He is most highly exalted. His name is above every name because he surrendered to the will of God. The last thing that I said to you yesterday was that surrender is the only absolute power that you and I possess. And that's true of both men and women. Now think about that. Surrender to God is the only absolute power that a man or woman possesses. Lord Acton said, "Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely." But this one absolute power that God has given to us in the freedom to choose will never corrupt as long as we surrender to God. It's the only safe course. It's the only way to bring my life into harmony with the purposes of God. And we have the examples of Eve and Mary, two opposite women, one who wanted her way, one who said, "Thy will be done. Let it happen as you say." Now, I know a lot of virgins. Yes, believe it or not, they are out there. There are a lot of you, both men and women, who have preserved for marriage that gift that you can only give once. When I think of some of the beautiful Christian virgin women that I know, I wonder why they haven't been claimed. I hear men say that they would want a virgin for a wife, but then, strangely, they often choose the aggressive woman who comes after them. I have letters from women telling me that they observe the same phenomenon in their churches. They come to the singles group in the church. They are friendly with the Christian women in that group, but then they go out somewhere else looking for fun and end up very often choosing the aggressive woman who has come after them and made herself very obviously available. The world's view of virginity is that it is a waste, it's lack of fulfillment, it's just nothing but sadness. What is God's view? God looks at the absolute value of the soul, apart from its visible usefulness, or even its fruit and human fulfillment. God does want fruit. God wants to give us fulfillment. But as God looks at a virgin woman, I believe that he sees her virginity as material for sacrifice, something that she can offer up to him for love's sake. But you may say, but I didn't choose virginity. With all my heart, I want marriage. And I understand that, and I sympathize with it. I felt exactly the same way. I had a letter from a Christian woman saying that she had chosen marriage, and a man whom she loved and admired asked her to marry him, and then she discovered that she had cancer. This man agonized over this, and then, with the full knowledge of her physical condition, decided to continue with their plans to be married. And then, just shortly before the wedding date, he broke the engagement because he said God had called him to the mission field. Now, I would have a lot of things to say to that man, but that's not my subject today. My subject is, what is this woman, whom I'll call Sally, to do with this devastating heartbreak? She would have understood if he had decided, as soon as he found out that she had cancer, that he did not want to marry her. It would have been crushing, of course, but it would have been a little bit more understandable to her than his determination, after he knew her condition, to go ahead and say, we are going to carry through with our plans, and then just a few months before the wedding decide, no, God wants me to be a missionary. What is she to do with it? I don't think she can do anything but what Mary did. Let it happen as you say. She has the power to surrender her deep, human, God-given desire as Mary did. The world, which unfortunately includes worldly churches, makes it very hard to believe that there is any transcendental meaning to a person's life when there are no visible results, no accomplishments, no impressive resume. Oh, what do you do? Oh, you're a mother? You're a housewife? Is that all? Holiness is a wholehearted acceptance of the lot that God has cast in our laps. It's a wholehearted yes to God. And so we women, if we want to be holy, let's take Mary as our example. Hers was a wholehearted yes. This is my first offering. Now, Jim Elliot, the young man that I was acquainted with when I was back in college, was my great desire. I thought, here is the kind of man that I hope God will give me for a husband. But my desire had to be surrendered to God. I thought possibly God was calling me to be a single missionary for the rest of my life. And so I had to offer it up and say, Lord, not my will, thine be done. Lord, this is where you have me now. You have all of me. I'll take this state of singleness with or without good feelings about it. I thank you, not because it's what I would have chosen, but because, for now anyway, it's what you choose. I want what you want. That is to be my attitude as a holy woman throughout my life, to be a cooperator with God, a total unity of my will with his. Fenelon, who was an archbishop in France back during the time of Louis XIV, wrote this: we ought to become holy in the state in which Providence has placed us, instead of making projects of goodness in the future. And we need the greatest faithfulness to God in the smallest things. That state of life to which God has called us is safe for us, if we fulfill all our duties therein. Accustom yourself to adore his holy will frequently, by humbly submitting your own to his orders and his providence. Let us do what we know he requires of us, And as soon as we know his will, let us not spare ourselves, but be very faithful to him. Such faithfulness ought not merely to lead us to do great things for his service, but whatever our hand finds to do, and which belongs to our state of life. The smallest things become great when God requires them of us. They are small only in themselves. They are always great when they are done for God, and when they serve to unite us with him eternally. Have you thought of the humblest task that you have to do? Maybe the dirtiest job? Maybe the job that you least like? And I hope there's no such thing as a job that you hate, because if you offer it to God, you will find joy in doing it. It shouldn't be something you hate. But just think of whatever that smallest thing is, and listen to Fenelon's words. They are small only in themselves. They are always great when they are done for God, and when they serve to unite us to him eternally. A perfect union with the will of God. Perfect conformity. And as we are conformed to the image of Christ and conform our wills to God, we will find that our joy is greater and greater. Humility and surrender can be your gateway to joy.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.